Okay, last week we were learning the various different definitions of Mlachas Machsheves. To be biblically chay for Shabbos, it has to be with proper, a lot of things. We learned, number one, it has to be the normal way of doing it. It can't be, it has to be productive, not constructive, not destructive. Secondly, what we're in the middle of now is what's called Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is defined as you're not doing the Melacha for the same constructive way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash, or you're not doing the constructive Melacha, the thing forbidden on Shabbos, the way it's normally done. Okay, for instance, we gave a few examples. Digging a hole is part of the Melacha of plowing. Now in the Mishkan, when they dug holes, it was to store things in. Used to make holes and then they put things in there. So what was the Melacha of plowing in the Beis HaMikdash? Basically is they needed the hole. What happens if somebody digs a hole on Shabbos? Not because he needs the hole, but he needs the dirt for something else. So then he's digging the hole, not because he wants a hole, because he needs earth. If he can get earth somewhere else, he'd get earth somewhere else. So that's called Melacha Sheina Tzricha L'Gufa. And we'll soon see what the halacha is of that din. Another thing we said, extinguishing a fire. Extinguishing a fire in the Beis HaMikdash was done because they needed the coals that was left from the fire. So when they needed coals, so they would burn something, and then they blew out the fire, they extinguished it, and then they would have the coals. What happens, though, if somebody is extinguishing a fire for a different reason? He's doing it because he wants to save the fuel, or somebody needs to sleep. That's called Melacha Sheina Tzricha L'Gufa. Again, we're going to see what the halacha is. Or another example was, one of the lamentas melachas is what's called tzad. Tzad is capturing an animal. In the Beis HaMikdash, they captured animals. Why did they capture animals? They needed it for the hide of the animal, the tchoshim, they had to, different animals, goats, they needed the skins. So why did they capture the animal? Because they needed the animal to use for the skins. But what happens if somebody captures an animal on Shabbos because he doesn't want it to hurt anybody? So that's called Melacha Sheina Tzricha L'Gufa. Again, it's not done for the basic reason. Again, in the Mishkan, the Melacha of capturing, you needed the animal. Here, you don't need the animal. You don't want the animal to hurt somebody. So that would also be Melacha Sheina Tzricha L'Gufa. Another example, and this is the last one we'll give. Another example we discussed is carrying. The purpose of carrying, normally when I carry something from my house to the street, from the street to my house, is because I want the object where I'm carrying it to. That's the purpose of carrying. What was done in the Mishkan? They carried things from their house to the Mishkan, or from the Mishkan to their house. What happens, though, if I carry on Shabbos, not because I need the object where I'm carrying it to. I don't want the object here. For instance, there's a dead body in the house, God forbid. And it's not that I want it in the street. I don't want it here. So again, I'm carrying it out to the street, not because I want the body in the street, or something smells in the house and I'm carrying it outside to the street. Because it's not because I want the smelly thing in the street. I don't want it here. All these cases are examples in halacha of melacha she'eino tzricha l'gufa. Now, what is the halacha of melacha she'eino tzricha l'gufa? So in the Gemara, there is an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda holds, Melacha she'eino tzricha l'gufa is biblically chayiv. Biblically chayiv. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's rabbinically forbidden. It's not biblically forbidden, because again, you're not doing it for the same reason why it was done in the Mishkan. So the Rambam, one of the few Paskin, the Paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's Chayiv, the majority of Paskin, and that's the way he's Paskin in Shechon Aruch, hold it's only rabbinically forbidden. It's only rabbinically forbidden. But it's a rabbinic prohibition, which is a strict rabbinic prohibition. okay? Because there's an opinion that says Mamashir Yochayv Min HaTeira. So another classification of Malacha Shein Yitzrich L'Gufa, it's still, no practical purpose, you're still not allowed to do it. You still can't do it. The only question is, in time of the Beis Hamikdash, did he get stoned? Or a chorus, if you did, whatever. What?
Capturing an animal, what happens if they leave it for the Beis Hamikdash,
will
they be
fine for
Shabbos?
The only thing they're allowed to do in the Beis Hamikdash, desecrating Shabbos, were sacrifices that Hashem told them to bring on Shabbos.
Right.
But one second, if somebody, let's say, wanted to donate a korban, they were not allowed to bring it on Shabbos. If somebody sinned and it has to bring a sin offering, they were not allowed to bring it on Shabbos. Capturing animals, they didn't have to do on Shabbos. They didn't have to capture the animal on Shabbos.
They didn't have, but they needed
it. No, they always had a store. I mean, there was always plenty available in the Beis Hamikdash. They didn't need to capture it then. But the rabbinic things, there's a rule, Ein Shvus B'Migdash. The rabbinic things were not forbidden in the Beis Hamikdash. But biblical things were forbidden. What?
When something is rabbonic chayav, if you do it the shinui, is it less of a punishment? For example, if somebody...
What do you mean less of a punishment? You're burning Gehenim less?
No, it's chayav or not. That's what...
Okay. We learned before, if you do a melacha different than always, it's rabbinically forbidden.
Right.
Now, if you do something rabbinically forbidden with a change, with a shinui,
yes.
So yes, it's easier because now it's a double rabbinic instead of a singular rabbinic. Yes. But again, it's still forbidden unless under certain circumstances.
What does it mean easier?
So that sometimes you could be lenient in halacha for it. Like for a sick person or things like that. No, that's a different story. That's the Shabbat Pikuach Nefesh. Then for sure you can kill an animal on Shabbos. We're talking about you're not capturing it for that purpose.
Either way, you're not allowed to do it.
You're not allowed to do it.
Either way.
Right.
So the purpose of us learning it, is it because when Mashiach comes, it goes to effect again?
Yeah, it will go effect again, even though then nobody's going to sin. But halachically, it's important to know if something is biblical or rabbinic. Why is it important to know? Because am I allowed to tell a guy to do something for me on Shabbos? And we're going to get that a little later. But telling a guy to do something for me on Shabbos is rabbinically forbidden. Okay? Now, if I'm asking a guy to do something rabbinically forbidden, under certain circumstances, you're allowed to do it. Not across the board. Under certain circumstances, you'd be allowed to do it. For instance, for a mitzvah, you'd be allowed to tell a guy to do something rabbinic. For a mitzvah. Okay? For a sick person, it would be easier. Okay? I'll give you an example. Okay? Let's say there's a city without any Erev. No Erev, okay? So you're not allowed to carry. Now, a man is broke his leg, God forbid. Okay, he can't walk, correct? Can a guy wheel him in a wheelchair to shul on Shabbos? Why? So the halacha is as follows. There's a rule in halacha. A living person, or living animal for that matter, carries itself. Which means, a baby that cannot walk, is yichayev for carrying it biblically, on Shabbos. If there's no, you know what I mean. If a child is able to walk on their own, and you carry him on Shabbos, it's rabbinically forbidden. Because as a rule, Hachai Neisei Etzatzmei. A living person carries himself. There's a difference between dead weight. You know, a person can't pick up 70 pounds dead weight, but you can pick up a kid that weighs 70 pounds. Why? Because it's lighter, because the kid is carrying himself. Therefore, it's not the real definition of caring because you're not carrying it by yourself. Okay? So, let's say a man normally could walk. A person, they're able to walk, right? But they have a broken foot. So now, wheeling them, which is a question of carrying, that you're carrying the person to shul, because it's a mitzvah for a man to be in shul, he has to daven with a minyan, he has to hear Kriyas HaTeira, it's a mitzvah for him to be in shul. You'd be allowed to ask a goy to wheel the man to shul on Shabbos. Why? Because carrying such a person is rabbinic. You're telling a goy to do it, it's a shvus to shvus, rabbinic of a rabbinic. Because telling a goy to do things for you on Shabbos is rabbinic, right? So now if I'm telling a goy to do something rabbinic for me, rabbinically forbidden for me, i.e. carrying a person that has a mitzvah to go to shul, right? I would be allowed to ask a goy, clearly, please take me to shul. Okay? Yes? If you remember, when I wasn't well and I first came to shul, so the goy took me. Even though I don't go by the aid of it all. But the reason it was, because it's a mitzvah for me to be in shul. And carrying me would be rabbinic. And therefore, I'm allowed to ask a guy to take me to shul. But for instance, a woman to go to shul is technically not a mitzvah. A woman doesn't have a mitzvah to daven with a minyan. She has to daven, but she can daven at home. She doesn't have to hear Torah reading halachically. So would a guy be allowed to take a woman to shul on Shabbos in a wheelchair, if you're not allowed to carry, right? So then it's not so poshut. So then technically the answer is no. It could be under circumstances that her mental state would affect her health. I mean, there's a lot of other issues that are taken into consideration. So it's important to know what's biblical, what's rabbinic. That's not a reason. Biblical, rabbinic, because under certain circumstances, then will change under certain circumstances. If it's rabbinically forbidden, and if you're telling a guy to do something rabbinically forbidden for the sake of mitzvah or sometimes a loss of money or something like that, so then it would be allowed. So you need to know if it's biblically or rabbinic in a practical halacha, not what you learn in yeshiva.
What about turning on the lights?
So again, there's another issue. There's a din that's called Seirech Rabin. You can ask a guy to do things if it's the need of a community. Let's say you come into shul and the shul's dark.
What's a community?
How much will it happen? A minyan, a shul. Not in your house. A minyan of people. A minyan is a tzibur. So now you come into shul and...
hot water for a cup.
What?
No, it's not that. It's dark.
That's not...
You can't make kiddush.
What?
You can make kiddush
in the dark, by the way. You just might spill it a little bit. But, for instance, or I'll give you another example. It's cold in shul. It's hard for people to daven. B'chlal, the Gemara says another interesting thing, in this brought down Shulchan Aruch, that for cold, and recently, contemporary Poskim Paskim for air conditioning also, it's very interesting. The Gemara says everybody is sick when it comes to cold. Hakol chelem eitzel tzina, the Gemara says, brought down Shulchan Aruch. Everybody is sick when it comes to cold. Therefore, the din is for somebody who's sick, not deathly ill, somebody who's sick, I'm allowed to ask a guy to do something for them. So therefore, let's say it's cold in your house. You don't have little kids at mamish, you know. It's cold in your house. According to Halacha, you're allowed to call in a guy and say, turn on the heat, please. You're allowed to tell him directly, turn on the heat. In the last number of years, people are so spoiled that air conditioning, they can't exist, they can't leave, they can't breathe, they're dying, you know, there's no air conditioning. So they're right, everybody's sick when it comes to air conditioning too. So you're allowed to tell a guy to do it.
What? Boy housekeeper who's helping with the cooking.
Okay, so that's, we'll get into that, not now. not today, probably not tomorrow either, but there are a lot of things what a guy is allowed to do for you. Huh?
Alexa?
Alexa's probably Jewish by now. All the Jews use Alexa. Or Siri, or any of those.
Sometimes you get a cat in the night.
Yeah,
it's a big problem in Halacha. We're going to learn. It's not, it's indirect, but indirect is still rabbinically forbidden.
Because you're creating something.
But for instance, by the way, coming back to the guy wheeling, let's say, the person to shul, what happens, and by the way, because they're allowed to go to shul, they could be wheeled home because it's part of going to shul. But what happens, a guy wants to go out for lunch on Shabbos. It's not so simple that you can ask a guy to take the person for lunch. You can eat in his house. I mean, you know, it's not... So that would be a different question if you...
Is that the reason your mother didn't use a cane to come to shul?
No, the story with a cane is, according to Halacha, or crutches or anything like that, if in the house you walk with them, then you're allowed to walk outside with them. If you walk around the house without them, then Halacha says, if you're not allowed to carry, you're not allowed to walk in the street with them.
On Shabbos.
On Shabbos. So let's say, God forbid, a guy has broken foot and he has crutches, and even in the house, he goes back and forth with crutches. Those are his feet. If they're his feet, he's allowed to go and out in the street on Shabbos. A person who's wheelchair bound could wheel himself to shul because those are his legs. If a person around the house doesn't need it, but they're walking a long distance, you know, a longer distance, so they need... So then, again, if there's no aid, then if there's if you don't use it in the house, then you're not allowed to do it in the street.